I wanted to ask about overrated and underrated and overachievers and underachievers. And, you know, there's certain players last year that can be qualified as they probably overachieved. And I think that sometimes it's built into their draft stock and their draft status a little bit. And sometimes it goes kind of almost like too far down the ledge, right? I look at a guy like a Rick Porcello, for instance. He won the Cy Young last year, right? It was like the greatest year of his career, right? And Porcello pitches for the Red Sox. It's a great team. And we talked really months ago at this point about a guy like Jay Happ, who had an amazing year. And it was this great year for him, this great year for his team, blah, blah, blah. And Jay Happ is a guy that I understand overachieving. Look at these numbers, and they're brutal. So Rick Porcello, Jay Happ, really two of the top pitchers in the American League last year. And I feel like when it comes to fantasy drafts, nobody wants them. In our mock draft, for instance, Rick Porcello went in the 10th round. Jay Happ went in the 19th. I get what the peripherals look like. I get that there's certainly a lot of reason to believe these guys are going to come way back down to earth here in 2017. But how far back down to earth is that, right? Are we almost overcompensating for the overachieving, Scotty?
I think so. I mean, it's interesting because, like, I read the Fantasy Baseball Guy Professional Edition. You get every expert weighing in with their picks and pans on certain picks. And on average, you'll get, like, two to three guys. Rick Porcello, there was about 14 experts weighing in with pans.
Right.
You know, just like everybody is just, like, falling in line with the regression. Porcello didn't have a bad month last year. It's like he had, like, this. Not only was he good, but he had this like perfect constellation of everything coming together, but you know, he's going to regress. But he still pitches on the Red Sox. You can't chase wins, but this is still a 15-win guy. Of course, I expect him to regress, but I don't expect him to blow up either. And you know, maybe people letting him slip a little bit far because of that. You know, I think you know he's a quality. He's not nearly as dominant as Cy Young winner, obviously, but I think he's a very good pitcher. And people I talked to out of Boston saying, you know, his confidence is soaring after last season. He's going to have some regression. I don't think you can have a year like that 2 years in a row, but I don't think you avoid the guy either.
The 10th round is where I said he went in the mock. Is that right for you, low for you?
I think it's about in the right area because you're not drafting him like where Cy Young would. But, you know, I might prefer maybe more of the... But I'm splitting hairs, maybe more the 11th, 12th. I really don't have a big problem with it. I think he's still going to be a winning pitcher. Again, you can't chase wins, but on Boston, you're going to get a lot of run support. Obviously, the guy knows what he's doing in terms of keeping the ball down, and I think he could still be a really good third pitcher in your fantasy staff.
Rick Porcello is ADP is 110, Tone.
It's funny what you listen to Scott talk about it because people are totally wrong about this guy. He doesn't do anything great, right? The wins were 22
sure.
wins. Like, you can't chase wins there. And he keeps the ball on the ground. He had the worst year of keeping the ball on the ground in actuality. It was only 43%. Times when he sucked, he was at 55% ground ball rate. So he didn't do a good job there. ERA, 3.15. His FIP was 3.15. He's a 3.50 pitcher. Yeah. You put him in 15 wins, and he doesn't get you strikeouts. His whip is going to be good because he doesn't walk people. He is what he is. 10th round, that's probably where it should go.
Yeah. Rick Porcello is going as the overachieving Cy Young Award winner, for instance. I said 110 ADP, Corey. Would you rather have Rick Porcello, the reigning Cy Young Award winner, or Zach Greinke, who had a brutal year last year?
Oh, that's a tough call right there. Excuse me. That's a tough call right there between those two. Obviously, you're looking at the guy with Greinke, who has excellent stuff coming off a down season, and you're also getting a discount on him this year. Porcello, on the other hand, is a guy almost the opposite of Zach Greinke.
Sure.
Give me the guy on the better team.
So that would be Rick Porcello.
That'd be Rick Porcello.
Interesting. Scotty.
Yeah, I have to go with Greinke here. Like Tony says, like, and I was thinking about 10th round is ideal. It's like if I'm getting Greinke in the 9th, I'm very happy. He's just not as bad as he was last year, and I'm expecting a big bounce back year.
Antone?
I like Greinke a little better. And the problem is I don't think I'd pick Greinke because I don't think really he's going to go. When we draft for real,
yep.
I don't see him going in the 9th or 10th round. I think he'll if he goes in the 6th or 7th round, that's where I would expect him to go.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah, so I could see passing on him there and waiting to the 10th round for Porcello.
Okay.
But if they're both a round off, I'd go
ninth and mocks, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point. When you draft for real, which of course will come your way or come our way shortly. Now, another overachiever, certainly, in a little different way than Rick Porcello, was Kyle Hendricks. I mean, we talked a lot about that as well. The ERA, the BABIP, and that kind of stuff, and that Kyle Hendricks can't nearly be as good as he was in 2015, as he was in 2016. Kyle Hendricks' ADP currently sits 65. In the mock draft, for instance, Kyle Hendricks went to Jake in the 7th round. Is Kyle Hendricks being... Do we think that he's going to continue to fall back down to earth a little bit here, Tony? And that he's like a SP2? Or should he be drafted as a back-end SP1, which the stats certainly indicated last year?
No, if you go in with a 1 with this guy, I think that's going to be too much. And you'd have to get strikeouts somewhere down the line. Last year, 8.05 was a career. He's right around 8.35 the year before that. Down in 2014 in 80 innings, he's at 5.27. So he's always put together decent ERAs, and it wouldn't surprise me if it was right around 3.
Yep.
Which is up to 2 point, and still that's going to put him in the top 10 in baseball. So I don't want him as a number one, but I think you can get away with it with a strong offense, and you're just going to have to pick up strikeouts. Like if you go Kyle Hendricks, the next guy to get is just SP2 would be Danny Salazar, and then hope that the strikeout that he can make 28 starts. Oh, well, you're going to have to do something like that just to get back in a strikeout race.
So you can make this pick. Yeah,
you can make him a starting pitcher one.
It's no coincidence actually that I brought up the two guys that don't really strike out pitchers because when we get to Shark Tank in the 9 a.m. hour. I want everybody to present a pitcher that doesn't really strike guys out, that isn't known for strikeouts, because so often we go into drafts and we want guys to blow us away. Even when it comes to closers, right? You want guys to blow players away that are just big with the strikeouts, and you want the strikeouts. And I think sometimes guys that don't necessarily strike anybody out or strike out fewer batters, like fewer than, let's say, 180 batters or so, perhaps go overlooked despite the stats. And I think that'd be someone that'd be something that would be great that each one of us can present to the investors sitting at this very table. So look forward to that, like I said, in the 9 o'clock hour. Two guys also that I think overachieved a little bit last year, and I want to know if you guys think they're properly going where they should, or maybe they are undervalued in a way. I'd love to get your thoughts there. And that's a guy named Justin Verlander. Corey, Justin Verlander, second half of 2015 was tremendous, and then all of last year really had a very good year. He finished second in the Cy Young Award voting. Verlander is the 10th pitcher off the board. ADP currently sits at 41. But if you look at the BABIP for Justin Verlander, it was at 255 last year. Kyle Hendricks is at 250. Justin Verlander at 255. So now is that because it was just thrown pitches in the right spots where people barely make contact, they won't get hits, or did he get lucky? Justin Verlander is not the pitcher that he was in his prime. He's maybe figured out how to pitch differently without being able to throw 100 miles per hour anymore. Is Justin Verlander, is his overachieving last year a true overachievement, or is this just the new Justin Verlander?
I think this is the new Justin Verlander. I'm not going to go and say this is a true overachievement because of the skill set that Justin Verlander has, you know what I mean? Now, you look back to 2016, you know what I'm saying, with the ERA, just over 3.254 strikeouts. Even if you do see regression, what the ERA may creep to a little over 3, I still think you get over 200K. So at SP10, I can see it, I can get down with it at SP10 because of the talent, the craftiness. He's a guy who knows how to pitch, so I still think he's going to be in play. I just look at the other season, which season was that? The 2015 season as really an outlier season. It doesn't match up with any of the numbers, and you see him bounce right back last season.
Yeah, still a good quality pitcher. You look at the ERA, it's 3.04, but the FIP is 3.48. To Corey's point, like, you know, he could still be like mid threes. Maybe the strikeout rate a little bit high, but, you know, not expecting too much regression. You know, maybe about 9 per 9. You know, last year he started to throw the slider a little bit more and threw the changeup a little bit less, and it seemed to work for him. I'm not expecting any major regression from Verlander, but, you know, you do wonder sometimes. You know, he's 34 years old. You know, when is a fall off going to happen because of all the innings that are on his arm? That's the one thing you have to be concerned about.
Now, what was his FIP again, Scotty?
350.
What does that
348.
Mean?
348. Fielding independent pitching.
I know, but, like, how does
what
that...
What does it mean? He's asking...
Basically, like, everything that a pitcher would be responsible for, like, walks, strikeouts, home runs, it really doesn't involve the defense to give an indication of purely how the pitcher does on his own.
Tony, what about you on Justin Verlander here?
The 35 years old, the velocity, it's going to drop off. I would... I hope someone else picks him. If we get to the fourth or fifth round, he's going to be the best pitcher on the board. This is a perfect example of a guy that I don't want to roster. But you can't ignore what he's done. Mm-hmm. And at that point, sometimes you have to pick him. So I always hope that he gets picked before I get there. So I think that's going to fall off. I mean, when you think about it, in today's era, 35-year-old pitchers that are pitching that well, we saw it during the steroid era. We don't see guys coming back like this.
Yeah, it's to Tony's point, it's you look at the numbers, and there's nothing there that screams major regression, but when you're on the board, you're like, damn, 35 years old.